Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Tuesday, May 8th, 2008 meeting of the Derry Township Board of Supervisors. And after calling to order, I'd like to ask that everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joe, may I please have the roll call?
Member Rick Samuda?
Here.
Member Susan Court?
Here.
Member Matt Weir?
Here.
Member Justin Engel?
Here.
Chairman Mark Mulier?
Here. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending the meeting that it has been the policy of their township to take record of all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. Also, the Board of Supervisors met with PFM, our financial consultant, the Community Center Project, to discuss land, legal, and personnel issues prior to tonight's meeting. The next item on the agenda is visitor and public comments, and in light of the topics for discussion this evening, I'd like to confine the initial public comment period to topics unrelated to the Community Center Project. We will then, after adoption of the board minutes, have the presentation on the Community Center with various individuals and with Mr. Mandia, and then we'll have public comment on the Community Center as well. And I think that order of presentation will be more productive for everyone present because it'll be more focused on topics at hand. So with that, I invite anybody who would like to address the Board of Supervisors on any topic other than the Community Center Project to please come forward to the podium. Identify yourself by stating your name, your address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your comments to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated.
Two other quick reminders while Mr. Gamble is coming to the microphone. Please speak into the mic. We have a lot of people in the room tonight, so it's really important that everyone who talks, including all of us up here, speak into the microphone. And also, if you haven't already, please make sure your cell phones are turned off. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just inquiring, and I sent an email to members of the board, and Rick, I apologize. I don't know if they forwarded it to you. I couldn't send it to you. But regarding revisiting the, way to generate some more tax revenue under the amusement tax here in Hershey, since we're focusing on downtown Hershey being a tourist attraction, I don't think it's not asking too much to revisit that and reassess how much a tax we can get back from Hershey Park based on the things, the Giant Center, the Hershey Park itself, and other activities they have within the community. I think that some counties up with 10% tax, and we're getting less than 85 cents on every ticket sold. That comes at less than 0.01% on some of these tickets. So I'm wondering, has anybody thought about that, or are you going to be discussing that?
Well, we're certainly, I've received your email, that topic actually is constantly being discussed amongst ourselves.
And with Hershey Entertainment Resorts. And the other thing to keep in mind is that entertainment tax is not just for Hershey Entertainment, it's for every entertainment venue. So even a nonprofit in the area has that same kind of tax.
Oh, I agree.
Those conversations do happen on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, because with the idea of focus of a tourist town, we're going to get outsiders coming in, and I think they should pay their fair share too. This can offset some of our
shirt.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
And I like the mustache, by the way, sir.
My name is Bill Noonan. I live on Randall Circle. I was going to save the comment for later, but my general question to the board is, when a big ticket item comes to the board for consideration for pricing, why isn't a referendum issued for the taxpayers to vote on? You have, over the last couple of years, you've had $7 million project, a firehouse. Now you're looking at another project that you're going to have comments later on. It seems like the majority is controlling the minority, And I know the board has a fiduciary responsibility, but when there's a big ticket item, $15, $20 million, the probability is the taxpayers are going to have to carry a burden of that for so many years. And that's what we're looking at now. So I'm asking the board, please look at it, some type of an ordinance to be considered for the future, that when you have a big ticket item, put it on the ballot either in the fall or in the spring for the township residents to vote upon. That way it can give you better direction on how you want to proceed. Nothing has happened in the last couple of years, sir. So I'm asking the board, please consider that, because I think it would go a long way and it would help the board in making decisions, because then the voice will be heard. And then if the voters agree that something needs to be built, then they know they're going to have to pay the burden of that. So I just ask the board to consider that.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Please.
Barry Buck, Corey Road. In line with the last two gentlemen that spoke, a couple years ago, you instituted a 39% tax on the citizens of the township. Many of the citizens in this township are senior citizens who only get a couple percent raise in Social Security. Nowhere near the 39% you put in or put against us. I think that needs to be considered. I don't know if it can be done, but at some point, limit senior citizens' taxing payments. Put a cap on it. It can be done. In line with this last gentleman, along with any type of ordinance on voter approval, referendums, put in there that it be binding. Many years ago, there was a referendum put out relative to a $4 million library. The citizens voted it down. The supervisors put it through anyhow. So what good does it do to put something on the ballot for the voters' input if you're not going to live by their wishes?
Thank you, sir.
Tom Stang, Boxwell Drive, first. I know it's the community center's later on the agenda, but today I wanted to get a little input, understanding, because I hadn't been paying enough attention to it. And I've been reading it in some paper, but I can't always believe what I read in some paper, to be quite honest with you, how accurate it might be. So I went to the website, and I was encouraged to see audio recordings of the meetings. I don't know how long that's been. Is that something relatively new that we've been putting on the website?
It's been a little while.
About a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that tells you how often I get on the website. So I was encouraged so I could listen to some of the meeting and get a better understanding than what I might read in the paper. I would just ask, has there ever been any thought into a video recording of it? And I know in Lower Paxton Township they do it, and they actually do a live televised version of it. So just you're shaking your head as if you've considered it, and there may have been thought there or other people have talked about it, but I just wanted to bring that up to you.
That's a great point. Thank you very much. And we have, again, discussed it, and it's been one of the many things on our topics for discussion. So it's a great point. Thank you, sir.
Hi. My name is Maureen DiClemente. I live at 542 West Granada, and I'm here to talk about the motel that's going to go up at Hillcrest and Mill. I'm very discouraged that the board chose not to contact the residents of the 500 blocks of Caracas, Riva, Granada, and Beach. It's a pretty big change for our neighborhood. It's now it's going to be a transient situation as opposed to something like a restaurant, etc. My biggest concern is that when we asked at the planning committee, someone, I don't know who the gentleman was, said that you didn't have to contact us because it was already zoned properly. Well, it's good neighbors to let us know that our lives are going to be changed pretty drastically by a five-story hotel whose four stories are going to be looking right in my bedroom window. I just would wish that you guys would consider the fact that some of us do do live in a residential neighborhood that is no longer going to be very residential. It's going to be transient. We have neighbors that have built their homes 70 years ago, 60 years ago. So our other concern is, are you planning on bringing the commercial district down our blocks? We appreciate everything we do. I'm just very discouraged about the fact that I've got a huge transient population coming 4 doors from me, and nobody contacted me prior to reading this. Thank you.
That's a good point. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Maria Mabby, 126 Jonah Avenue. I'm here tonight out of concern for the True Hilton Hotel that is on track to be erected at the former Memmi Bakery site. The size and scope of this building is grossly out of scale and absolutely does not take into consideration the neighborhood that it will literally be looming over. The question seems so obvious. How has a building like this been approved to be erected in a neighborhood that is made up of one-story ranch-style homes? A hotel that will dominate the skyline, draw considerable traffic and transient people to a quaint neighborhood in Hershey. Has anyone even considered what this project is going to do to the value of the blocks and blocks of homes that will forever be affected by this eyesore? To be clear, I am not opposed to a hotel being developed on that site. I am opposed to having Hilton come in and slap down a structure that lacks any real resemblance of design and quality. We should expect better from large organizations in terms of architectural style and quality of materials being used, considering that their projects will forever be a part of our community and landscape. These big box style hotels are slowly creeping into our town. I cannot imagine I am the only one not okay with the direction this is going. I understand that the zoning ordinance was recently updated, and as we all know, even the best laid plans sometimes need tweaked. I would like for the players involved, mainly all of you, to hit the pause button and reconsider this project. I strongly believe if we allow the scope and scale of a building like this on that property, the well-intentioned plan for downtown development will be heading in the wrong direction. At what point can you, the township supervisor, say maybe she has a point and this project shouldn't have even gotten to this stage? Ground hasn't been broken yet, but for some reason the mentality is this project is already done. When I brought this up to a supervisor, I was told that I should have better informed myself and spoken up earlier about this. I completely agree with this statement and will take ownership of that fact. However, this situation raises another counterpoint about trust. After we, members of this community, vote for elected officials like yourself, we put a great deal of trust that you will make decisions that consider the best interest of the constituents. So now what? I do not think it is out of line to send the developers back to the proverbial drawing board and ask them to come up with a more thoughtful design, one that would be more sympathetic to the proposed location. I have Googled hundreds of images of Hilton hotels and have seen some amazing architectural work that would have a more organic feel than the suggested Hilton True that, in my opinion, seems better suited as an isolated structure near an airport. Obviously, I did not know Milton Hershey personally, but the one thing I think we can all conclude about him is that quality was very important. He took great pride in design and his standards were high. I fear we are slowly moving away from this approach, and if we keep lowering the bar and accepting projects that are subpar, eventually those buildings will forever change the landscape and the feel of our town. As far as I can tell, we will be living in a town where two types of structures will exist: the amazing historic buildings that we have been so lucky to inherit, along with generic box buildings that are being built to minimize expense and maximize income. Which I don't blame the developers for this approach. I mean, who wouldn't take advantage of that? So I will leave with this parting thought as it pertains to the Hilton True and any other project currently on the table. In 50 years, will we be able to look back and be proud of the buildings that we have built in our community? Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Gary D. Clementino. I'll try to be very brief. I live at 542 West Granada Avenue, four houses away from the proposed hotel, which will sit five stories atop the highest point, in my opinion, of Western Hershey. You know, I grew up in this area, and nobody could develop that land, as far as I know, because of sinkholes. The place is popping with gophers or groundhogs, which is fine. I mean, they live there, you know. But it's an indication that that is, I could be wrong. This is not scientific, but I've been looking at that place since I was 7 years old down there, known as a Mill Street. And I'm looking at that now and thinking, well, why in the world has that property never been sold until now? And I worry that the sinkhole issue is what kept somebody from developing that for the past 70 years, 60 years, 50 years. And I don't really care for something that high in our residential area. Thank you so very much for everything you do.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to address the Board of Supervisors on a topic other than the community center? If not, I'll turn to the next item on our agenda, the approval of the minutes for the Board of Supervisors, April 24, 2018, and we'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes. Moved by Mr. Engel.
Seconded
by Mr. Weir. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. Turning now to our new business, item A to 8 on the agenda, the presentation of the schematic design for the community center project. Mr. Mandia. Can everyone see the screen sufficiently? That helps.
You're welcome to move the chairs over too. I know this room is not conducive to viewing and hearing, and we have a lot of people in here. So.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, board members, colleagues, all of our residents who are joining us here this evening to review the product of a tremendous amount of work that has occurred since November on the schematic design of our community center. One housekeeping item that I do want to touch on is, as with all of our previous public presentations, this presentation will be recorded as well and will be posted on the township's website. So if there are folks that you know that weren't able to be here this evening, please let them know of that resource that's going to be available on the township website. I would be remiss if I went any further in the presentation before acknowledging the dedicated team that has been working on the schematic design for this project since November. Led by Kimmel Bogret Architecture and Site, and Jim Bogret's here this evening. Jim and his team have been extremely creative, patient, as there's been a lot of moving pieces in this project, as you can imagine. So Jim, thank you for your leadership in that. RGS, who is a civil engineer for the site, Aaron Bricker is here, Craig Smith and his entire team, they've also been extremely helpful in that the current site at 605 Cocoa Avenue is a challenging site. As many of you know that site already, there's many changes in elevation in the existing building, and that's something that RGS has been wrestling with to do their best in limiting that in the newest design. And our owner's representative is Capital Construction Management, Greg Kousis, who's here. Greg has kind of kept all those moving parts on one track, moving at the same speed down that track, and it's been extremely beneficial, and we appreciate all of your assistance in that regard. I could spend another 15 minutes talking about all the sub-consultants up here. I'm not going to do that, but it doesn't take away the importance of their contributions to the schematic design that's going to be presented to you here this evening. So this evening, I'm planning on just providing a brief history on the current building and a little bit of a history on the planning process that we've gone through to date. Aaron Bricker from RGS will be talking about the site, as I just mentioned. Jim Bogret will present and review some proposed floor plans and conceptual interior and exterior renderings. And Greg will be talking about cost estimates and schedule for future phases in the project. So project history. Hershey Community Archives provided this photograph taken back in 1963 when our current facility on 605 was constructed. When you say community center in our community, it really has been woven into the fabric of our community, starting with the community center uptown and the iconic architecture that was included in that amazing building. In the top here, once again, our existing facility on Cocoa Avenue back in 1963. And of course, that same facility that we're still operating 55 years later in Cocoa Avenue and our lobby and creating programming areas behind these portable walls, our six-lane indoor pool, 55 years old, our retractable dome that somewhat works, and it's been a wonderful facility, but certainly showing its age. So the facility was dedicated in memory of Milton S. Hershey on October 20th of 1963 by the Hershey Chocolate Corporation and operated by the M.S. Hershey Foundation between 1963 and 1979. It began as a state-of-the-art structure at the time with innovative designs, including that retractable dome. It was sold for $1 to the township on the 13th of September in 1979 and has been owned and operated by the township since that time. It continues the service today, but is significantly limited with no addition of programming space on site in 55 years. It is the home of Hershey High School swim team. It continues to host a multitude of ongoing aquatics and recreational programming throughout the year, each and every year. It is the site of the township's summer outdoor community recreation pool, as everyone is aware. It is also situated adjacent to the school district campus, which has produced a clear need for a more robust after-school collaborative program for our students. Both program and facility demands have far exceeded the current facility's ability to accommodate those demands. Our recreation, social, cultural, and aquatic needs cannot be fully met due to the lack of current indoor programming and aquatic space availability. Once again, the facility turns 55 years old this year and is showing its age in most areas of its infrastructure. And I know I've mentioned this in previous presentations that I've been honored to be the director of this department and the operator of this facility for 24 of the 39 years that the township has owned and operated this facility. And in saying that, I've seen the amazing things that this facility has provided to the community. I'm watching people that were in summer day camp and swim lessons come in with their own kids now, which makes me old. conversely, I've also seen the significant challenge of operating an aged facility the way that we are right now. And my hat's off to my staff that deals with that each and every day. So it became very evident some time ago, even in the early 2000s, that we really needed to, it was incumbent upon us to begin planning for what the next generation of the community center in Derry Township was going to be. So that was formalized in October of 2014 when a stakeholders committee was established to begin the process of planning. That included our Derry Township School District, the Moeller Senior Center, our aquatics community, the Hershey Medical Center, Milton Hershey School, and citizens at large. This group was charged with really establishing the roadmap and the process for the planning process that we were going to embark upon and how we were going to get this done. That group met for several months. And in 2015, the consulting services commenced with hiring of Ballard King Associates, which include a feasibility study and a market analysis, which looked at our demographics, our primary and secondary service areas. There were public listening sessions held at the Recreation Center where we gathered the community's needs and really primarily needs that the community felt that our current facility was lacking or wasn't reaching the potential of what they felt this community should have in terms of services. So based on that information, the feasibility study, the market analysis, and Ken Ballard's expertise in the field of over 30 years, Ken put together a preliminary program for the facility. That included a competition pool, indoor and outdoor leisure pool, a gymnasium, weight and cardio area, group exercise rooms, running and walking track, multi-purpose rooms, a senior center, a youth or teen lounge or gathering place, and building support spaces like offices, restrooms, and locker rooms. In 2016, Jim and his team at Kimmel Bogret was hired to provide the next phase of planning, which was the refinement of the building program and the development and further development of the conceptual plan. On June 27, 2017, that was presented right here in this room with the results of the preliminary design. On October 16, 2017, Ballard King Associates then conducted an operations analysis for the facility, which outlined the financial roadmap for the facility. And on November 14, 2017, Jim and his team at Kimmel Bogret was hired once again to develop the schematic design, which we're going to be looking at this evening. Through a number of meetings from 2017 to this evening, Jim's team has worked with the township to update the program that was originally established and the various changing needs to develop a schematic building plan that meets the township's budget. So with all that said, as you can see, a tremendous amount of work has gone toward the brick and mortar aspect of this project. And that is obviously why we're all here this evening. But I would ask if you would indulge me just for just a couple moments. As importantly, we've also been working on creating a culture of community that would reside within the walls of any future structure. A culture of community working with the school district in consistency with COCO principles and establishing a welcoming, respectful, and positive place for our community's youth. A culture of community in working with our senior population and providing expanded opportunities for socialization, intergenerational programming, and alternative health and wellness opportunities. A culture of community in working with our aquatics community, not merely on competitive swimming, but rather to expose and make available all the benefits that water provides to the human body and its overall well-being. A culture of community in working with the Hershey Public Library, a campus neighbor and fellow township department, in expanding cooperative programming and increasing available programming space that will serve both current and future library patrons. And a culture of community in participating with the medical center to create a deliberate campaign to make available and to foster overall health through nutrition, exercise, mental and physical well-being, and warm water rehabilitation, all aimed at improving the quality of life in our community. So, bricks and mortar, yes. Culture of community, absolutely. The end result, along with all the work that you'll be seeing this evening, ends up producing a true community center. So with that, I'm privileged to introduce Aaron Bricker from RGS Associates, for a civil engineering firm, to discuss the site.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Hi, thanks, Matt, for the introduction. As you said, my name is Aaron Bricker. I'm actually a landscape architect with RGS Associates. We're a landscape architecture civil engineering firm, primarily focused on land planning and site development. We have a lot of experience working within the township. We feel we've developed a great working relationship with municipal officials and the community development staff. We're well aware of your ordinances, your recently adopted zoning ordinance, and look forward to working on this project in the near future. So as we all know, I'm here tonight to touch on the Community Development Center project. I'm briefly going to review the site plan, and some of the proposed building and how that sits on the situation on the property. I'll briefly touch on some of the constraints and variables that have driven the site plan and how that's going to affect how that new building will fit on the site. One of the driving factors, and Matt's talked about this a little bit, is throughout the design process, the idea that the community center should improve on the campus feel that currently exists within the township. Looking here at the aerial, we all know the school district property, all the facilities it has surrounding the existing community center property. So we felt that that was very, very important to consider that throughout the entire process. The design process has been a collaborative effort between the design team and various stakeholders, including the school district, the Moeller Senior Center, the swim club, and others. Circulation has also been a critical design component, with improved campus connectivity for students and residents being the goal. With the location of the existing property being near the heart of downtown Hershey, the design team wanted the facility to feel accessible from both the existing downtown residential areas as well as from within the school district campus. So to summarize some of the major design components shown here, the project is retaining the existing access off of Cocoa Avenue, a new full movement access drive is proposed to connect the library and the community center properties shown here. As a part of that, the existing entrance and culvert to the library is not expected to be impacted. An access drive is proposed to improve circulation between the school district property during larger swimming events, shown here. Pedestrian walkways are planned to provide access between the middle and high school, as well as from the elementary school and early childhood center. They're proposed in this area here, as well as in this area. As a part of that, a new crossing here will be provided over the stream to provide students direct access and a safe crossing over that stream corridor. The larger facility is obviously being developed and designed to support larger swimming events. As a part of that, these events are going to require additional parking. Parking right now is being considered off-site to help support those needs. Two of the areas being contemplated right now is the parking lot here at the early childhood center, as well as the existing parking lot between the middle school and high school. So here you can see an aerial view of the existing facility as we all know it today. Cocoa Castle, shown here, is obviously an important feature within the community. We felt that that was important to respect that throughout the design process. The existing parking lot shown here, is much of that is planned to remain as well to support the new facility. The narrow one-way access drive to the library is shown here, and the existing pool right now as we know it today is shown here. One item to note is the existing properties do not currently comply with the township zoning ordinance for impervious coverage within the Hershey mixed-use zoning district. So as we transition from the existing condition to the proposed condition, any improvements to the property that are proposed will exceed the same zoning requirement. As part of any approval process, we recognize that this is something that needs to be addressed, and we discussed that with the township's community development staff. Currently, we understand that the township will be considering a potential text amendment or some form of an update to the current zoning ordinance that would obviously support and we would obviously support whatever process that involves. As a part of that process, some of the zoning amendments would also potentially include an update to the permitted building height within the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District, as the planned facility currently exceeds what the HMU district permits today. So you can see here on the site plan, the new outdoor pool being proposed over the area where the existing pool is located today. Cocoa Castle is shown here, your existing access to Cocoa Avenue is shown here remaining. You can see some of the proposed improvements to the access drive to the library here and the school district here, and the proposed trail connections to the school district are shown up here. And just to give everybody a little bit of context on this larger scale drawing, the stream channel that flows through the property comes through here, flows around the back of the parking lot, around and continues north. Obviously, as a part of any project, stormwater management is a critical component. In order to accommodate the needs for this project and any development on the property, we're considering these three areas shown in the darker green, here, here, and here, for stormwater management facilities. In order to provide area for these facilities, specifically this facility to the north, two of the existing tennis courts that are currently located within the existing floodplain are shown to be removed. Those are currently a maintenance issue for the township because of the elevation adjacent to the stream channel, and that will provide the necessary area that we need to accommodate stormwater management. Obviously, parking is going to be something that needs to be provided on this facility. The existing parking lot will provide a large majority of that. The parking lot's off-site, and the school district property could be utilized in the larger events. And the existing skate park down in this area is proposed to be removed and restriped to regain much of that needed parking. For comparison's sake, we provide this rendering, and the dashed line gives you an idea of what your current facility looks like today. The proposed facility overlay obviously shows you the increase in usable space that you're going to be gaining. So without too much more regarding the site plan and touching too much on the building, I'll turn that over to Jim.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Also want to take a moment and thank the board for their continued support, trust, and commitment having us part of this team. Thank you very much. Also, because little is accomplished without true collaboration, I also want to thank the stakeholders who are present here tonight, as well as my teammates who are with me, who've, you know, through, you know, lots of dialogue and conversation, do things really to achieve greatness. And I think we're, you know, although beginning in this process, I think already we're recognizing that the efforts of true collaboration are bearing fruit. In particular, with me this evening is Torin Miner, who's joined us recently in the firm, and John Trump, who couldn't be here tonight. The two of them have been great colleagues in this process, and I want to just publicly recognize them. I know we're all anxious to see everything that we're about to present here this evening, but before I do, I just think it's important for everybody to know just a little bit about me, so if you just give me a moment here, I'll just speak a little bit more about me personally, because this project is it's really important to me, and I think after I speak, you'll understand why. Back in 1974, my family moved here from Westchester County, New York, and you can imagine when we arrived here with my siblings that things were a little bit different than the suburbs of New York City. You know, we heard we were moving to Chocolate Town, USA, and where chocolate, you know, I think we ate so much chocolate growing up, it wasn't even funny. Mm-hmm. But when all that was said and done, we truly realized that we were in a special place, that this town was more than just candy and chocolate. I think you all know that. Particularly the intersection of Chocolate and Cocoa Avenue. I mean, where else but in Chocolate Town, USA, would you have such an intersection? You know, but there was the drugstore. The drugstore was a real soda fountain, a place to eat, a place to meet, a place to socialize. And then directly across the street, the community center. Probably one of the most beautiful buildings in town, designed by Philadelphia architect Paul C.J. Cray. One of the, you know, incredible, it's the place I learned to swim. Also, the library was there. And with summer reading programs there, worked on things in there. So these places clearly have influenced me and shaped me who I am. And of course, the subject of this evening's presentation, what was, you know, what we now know as the Hershey Recreation Center, was the plaza when we arrived. Obviously, it's a place that hasn't changed very much. but clearly it was a place where we learned to swim more, socialize, basketball, ping pong, a place with a fireplace. These are the things that I remember going there, and of course, summer dances and things like that. Just lots of good memories. And of course, when I first arrived back to meet the stakeholders, I had to take a moment and just kind of walk around, and it was a little eerie for me, frankly, to kind of imagine, the past and what I was witnessing. This is a special place for sure. The town is special, and I can honestly say that these formative experiences have influenced me in the design of what you're about to see. What you're about to see is the results of this schematic design. And please understand that even though we've produced quite a bit of refinement from the last time I was here speaking, there's still much to do, and this is really just the beginning. So you recall in my last presentation how I spoke about the notion of the sort of design elements to this building in terms of an organizing principle. And that was recognizing the idea of Main Street. And in particular, I referenced Chocolate Avenue, Cocoa Avenue, Chocolate Avenue in particular. That street is not just a street to go through and to move through from point A to B. Because when you stop at a street, along a street, becomes a place to socialize, becomes a place to connect with various civic and public private functions, much like our building. So our building has our main street that bisects and connects, and it is the singular entrance. And it is the collector of all things north and south of this arterial area. And within this area here, we could connect to various functions on both sides. So this is the true collector, the true Main Street. Zooming in just to the north side of this plan, you'll see some of those things in particular. Imagine coming in here, being greeted at a desk, control points in yellow, which is the administrative staff, some supportive utility, service entrance to the side here. The blue area here, the seniors for the Mueller Center. Community center, public flexible meeting rooms. Teen center, gymnasium, child watch area. All this space, the social hub with all these abilities to kind of come and be directly connected to all these places. To the south, nothing but water, right? Indoor leisure pool, indoor competition pool. A way to control, have large groups come in without having to necessarily come in and use coming into the building here with the mixing of populations, but to come in, have control points, deal with larger crowds in this larger area. Bathrooms to support that, concessions to support that. Also concessions to support the residents. We managed, if you again remember the last presentation that we had, we talked about the community living room and this aspect of in the lobby that you would have this kind of space that would be home, much akin to the main space that we all have with the fireplace in the current facility. We'd like to bring that idea forward and embrace that and have it here in the heart, right in the middle of the whole facility, the center of gravity of the entire place. Fireplace, leisure space, bathrooms, and the ability when you sit here, imagine this wall being transparent and this wall being transparent and be able to see right into the pool so you get this kind of connection. You also have that connection here as well. All the orange spaces that you see, these areas have been redesigned and designed and redesigned again. I think it's probably about 15 different iterations. And that may be light. But through the end, this is the idea of collaboration that I was speaking about. We were challenged along the way by really good conversation and really good questions by the stakeholders. Why are we doing this? Can we make something better? Let's really imagine what it's like day in and day out. Matt and his team, about operating this, having all this here. So what you're looking at are across the top, and this was in the program that we had established, were these family changing rooms, a party room, more this whole area right in here is nothing but sort of family private changing rooms. And then your more conventional locker rooms on both sides here, which have the ability to have men's and women's on two sides with the ability to connect back and forth here. This path that you see here that you might have noticed on the site plan earlier, this is the way in to the outdoor pool from the parking. So imagine parking here, also maybe down at the bottom at the library, coming in here to a control point, then be able to proceed into, and you're seeing a little bit of the splash pool that you see here. When I show the renderings, you'll see a little bit more about what these spaces look like. There's a small upstairs, and what you're looking at here are the space that's in white, that is the space that looks down onto the gym. This orange area here that circumnavigates this part of the building is a walking track. And in the middle, you have a fitness area here with a small locker room for men and women here, control point, desk, arrival. Place for cubbies and storage for that could hold different yoga mats and things like that. So the areas in green that you see here on the second floor are one, two, and three different types of fitness rooms. And you can see each one's a little different and different size, so they all pertain to different types of activities that could happen here. They also have the opportunity for, because they're at the ends of the building, to bring in daylight. And we were very careful to control how, particularly this area here is a western wall, so we have a window here facing north, so this area won't get a lot of excessive sun. Where this side, this would be a great morning space. You know, this is easterly oriented as well as this window is easterly oriented. So morning light could come in here, but then quickly around 10 a.m., the sun would move around, and these places would just get nothing but nice indirect light. What you're looking at in blue is the spectator seating that overlooks the pool below for the competition pool. Additional bathrooms are on this level to meet the building code, so in the plumbing code. We have a number of seats so that when you come up to this level, you're at the same level as the second floor, but you walk down these aisles here in order to get to the rows of seating. So the next set of images I'm going to reveal will be the renderings. I know I'm excited to show them and share them with you. Before I do, I just want to mention what you'll be seeing. So the first image that we'll be showing you is what it looks like to come in off of Cocoa Avenue. And then we'll be moving around the building, so we'll be in the parking lot next, looking back at the building. Then we'll have another drawing that shows the entrance to the building. And then we'll start seeing some water. So we'll show the, we have about three different images of the outdoor leisure pool. Then we have the indoor leisure pool. And then we'll finish with the competition pool. And then the, if I have this right, there's an aerial shot at the end. So what you're looking at here is a familiar anchor again. As it was described earlier, this is an important element to retain and to work with and come in. What you're looking at in the foreground, the next layer in, so to speak, is the gymnasium. And the articulation you see on this area here is the walking track. And this walking track has the ability to kind of have some daylight on that corner. And we're being careful not to have too many windows on here because we want to make sure it's safe to play inside as well. And what you see in the distance is the what we're calling the social pavilion, if you will, or this idea of pavilion, which is this multi-purpose space, and having the ability to have multi-purpose rooms beyond here with a little bit of cover. And in the foreground here is yet to be developed, but this green area here is earmarked for the senior garden. So the idea of that space that's behind the Mueller Center, gets a lot of heat in the afternoons, and we've been very mindful to keep this on the northerly side of the building so that any western sun that would be coming would be going in this direction, and it would be, this would be much more shaded than what they currently have today. So coming around, now all of a sudden you're starting to recognize, where do I enter the building? And looking back from the parking lot at the entrance. So we have this, again, our Main Street idea begins right here and coming in. Our service entrance is back here. We have a loading dock actually back here, and we've kind of been cleverly creating this with our civil engineer and landscape architect to try to get this to de-emphasize that utility aspect into, because it's right at our front door, right? So we're very mindful of that. And that idea of that social room that you saw in plan with the covering, and that idea of porch and that idea of inside-outside kind of pre-function and activity is all around here. And what you're looking at on the left-hand side is the profile of the indoor pool. And this area here, you can imagine behind this wall and down along this side is where that seating starts. And of course, the pool level, the pool deck with the, that would be here. So coming more straight on access with this, we're imagining this kind of inviting entrance, place for bikes, a place to meet. If you notice here, there's a curb inset here for a number of parking spaces, predominantly for seniors. And those who need a little bit more assistance getting in and out of their cars and having a closer way into the building. The outdoor leisure pool, the seasonal space, has a couple features, and I have another illustration that will elaborate on some of the things I'm about to speak to. But in general, what you're looking at here, imagine from this edge to this edge, coming down a set of grand stairs, if you will. So you can sit at various depths in the water, socialize along here, step in gradually. It's a great place for kids to learn how to swim, because when they first start swimming, they're at the top of the stairs, and then when they get better and better, all of a sudden now they can start swimming back and forth. So there's a lot of function here, as well as inviting social interaction. A couple basketball hoops here. We kept all the kind of more ball activities away from this side, which is the concessions, check-in, splash pad, perhaps a little bit more quiet. What you're looking at here is a big social circle, if you will. Back here, I have another view. This would be helpful. We have another cutout, a circular cutout here that could be used for volleyball. That other circular element is back here. And in here, there's actually an area that we call the splash or the wet deck. It's just a few inches of water, but you can imagine having a chair or sitting in there, just having water come up to your thigh. So some of the things that we've been working with Councilman Hunsinger with are the conceptual designs of what's in here. You know, what are these features that we might have? And understand that these are still being developed, but just to illustrate what you possibly could have, we asked these folks to illustrate it so we can have an idea of what it might mean. So in this rendering, this overall view that you see here, you see the basketball nets I was referring to. That volleyball feature was over here. There would be some water jets that could be here, a zero entry area here, which if you flipped it around, you know, here's that zero entry coming into a big water feature that you can see that scales appropriately for children. Back here is this spray ground, splash park, if you will, with some fun stuff to walk through, rain showers and water jets and other kind of things like that. This illustration actually showed that shallow area I was speaking about earlier, about that wet deck area. Now inside, again, there's a zero entry area inside. And if you remember the from the floor plan, we have the family locker rooms that are behind this wall. This wall is not the architecture, just focus on the water and the elements about the water. This illustration is solely to illustrate that. We have a on-deck slide where if you came up to this level, you would go out the building, spiral around, and come into a, you know, this area that would be the run-out on deck here. Again, that zero entry area, there's a series of 6-inch steps that descend here to a lower level. Here's another one of those social areas. And then what you can't see here is one of those grand stairs that I spoke about earlier. And also to support some warm, this is all warm water compared to the competitive pool, which is cooler water, what you have here is the ability for laps, you know, 4 lanes of lap swimming. And this could also be used in conjunction with swim meets as warm up and warm down areas. So the competition pool is quite vast, as you can see. 50 meters, 10 lanes. It's and what you're looking at are the upper tier seats that I spoke about earlier and how those would be accessed. This is spectator seating. This is participant seating. So you have a segregation in population. That glass wall I spoke about being in the community living room, you see here, so you can have that access and visually kind of connect back to that Main Street idea. Some materials that we are contemplating that you see that we have represented on the renderings or, you know, we looked around, it seems like my whole childhood I've been watching this and witnessing this limestone. It's not that far from anywhere you look, anywhere in town. And we thought this was an appropriate material to look at. So we found and been working with several manufacturers to try to understand how, because we can't afford real stone, because we're trying to be, you know, conscious of money here, but we also want to be sensible and find appropriate durable materials, about getting a mix of that we have simulated stone here. So that's like when we speak, when you see all the stone, that's what we're talking about. You saw where we had that walking track in the first illustration coming off of Cocoa Avenue, that idea that you have this translucent wall material, which is an insulated material with the ability to kind of see out. And this is pretty indicative of what we're trying to illustrate from the outside. You can imagine if you were on the other side of the track looking across to the north, this is the kind of thing that we were suggesting. Not just there, but in a lot of areas around the gym, because they help diffuse the light, and we really want to be mindful of that. And it's a great thermal barrier as well. And then the last picture that you see here is the type of roof. It looks like a metal roof, but it's actually not. It's a PVC roof with these battens put on the roof. And this is a long-term, 50-year kind of roof. And when you see the aerial shot, you understand how the roof is the dominant. It's so dominant in the design that it's important that we just don't look at a flat roof. So we tried to approximate what it would be like if we were either jumped really, really high or in a drone or in a balloon looking towards the high school in the distance and the outdoor pool and Cocoa Castle area here. And you start understanding the magnitude of this and that surface area that I was speaking about. The sloped roofs would be like that ribbed kind of roof that would look like the metal roof, but they wouldn't be a metal roof. All the areas that you see and have seen that are the white kind of windows is that translucent cowl wall is the brand name of that. So that's what's happening around here. It's a good use of the material, lets light in, diffuses it, get a lot of natural light coming in these spaces. I wish I had more to show you, but that's where we are. I hope you appreciate all the effort, and not just for us, but everybody that's present here and in the audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim. As Matt had introduced me earlier, my name is Greg Kousis. I'm with Capital Construction Management. We have been engaged by the township to be the owner's representative on the project. In that role, we are trying to do overall team and program management. We've also been tasked with doing the estimating and monitoring, maintaining, and updating the schedule. So this evening, I wanted to present where we are in terms of the costs on the project, as well as where we are with the schedule. Just as a little bit of background, last year, when the project was in its conceptual stage, and Kimmel Begret had done a number of different options, we had looked at a number of different options for the township at that point. Some of them were renovations, some of them were new. Some of them, one of them was this 50-meter pool concept that Jim has presented tonight. So at that point in time, the budget that we had come up with in terms of overall cost for that 50-meter pool was $32 million. That included soft costs, construction costs, site costs, overall total project costs for the whole entire project. At the conclusion of Jim's work and RGS's work on the site portion of this, our firm was given a number of documents to do another estimate. And so we worked on that for a number of weeks. This is a summary of that estimate. There's a lot more detail that went into coming up with all of these numbers. We, at this point in a project, there's enough information on the drawings that we can actually start doing real counts of, you know, how many square feet of windows are there, how many different individual columns they're going to be, how many footings for those columns. So the degree of fidelity for the estimate at this level is much higher than when we were at the schematic level. The result of that estimate was that we were estimating that the building was going to cost $36.4 million. So at the conclusion of our schematic estimate, we were approximately $4.4 million over the target budget for the project. So between completing that estimate and tonight, the team got back together and said, how do we get this thing back on budget? And so we identified a list of approximately 27 different cost savings measures. And in lieu of going through them individually tonight, what we have done is included in this summary sheet one line item that adds up to the $4.4 million in cost savings that brings us back to approximately that same $32 million budget that we established at the conceptual level. There is, as I said, a number of items that go into that, one of which, maybe the most important of which, is reducing some of the square footage in the building. We also looked at eliminating a few of the amenities, changing some of the finishes, but really the big savings are in making the building a little bit smaller. So by way of tying that back into what Jim just presented, if the project moves forward, the architect has made a commitment to look at modifications to design that will realize those savings, so that at the end of the next stage, we are in fact where we thought we would be in terms of size and in terms of budget. So, summary, soft costs, as I said, all the different parts and pieces that go into building the project, general conditions, site work, concrete, masonry, metals, going all the way down. The special construction item is pools and pool amenities, many of which Jim just pointed out. Fire suppression, plumbing, HVAC, electrical, as you would expect. A contingency has been included in that. Total project cost at this point, $31.7 million is the estimate. Proposed project schedule. This schedule really has not changed much since a year ago when we first started talking about it. One of the program goals was that the community center and the aquatics component of it would only be impacted for one season. So we have always been trying to manage this project for a spring 2020 opening, which means for that to happen, the project really needs to start construction in March of 2019, pretty much immediately after the swim season. This is easily a 14-month project. I think that's a comfortable schedule. It's not a overly conservative schedule. It's certainly doable. But trying to compress the schedule into, say, a 12-month schedule would be a real challenge because of not only the demolition, but all the complicated construction that's being proposed here. So 14-month construction duration, working back from May of 2020, means we want to start in March of 19, means that we want to get out to bid in January so the board can approve it in February of 19, which means that we need to complete design development in September of 2018, so that we may come back to the board and to the community with an update on the drawings and on the budget, which brings us to tonight, May 8th. We are here presenting the schematic estimate and requesting approval on that to move forward with the design development. That is my presentation on the estimate and the schedule. At this point, I think we're here for questions and any other comments that the board may have.
Matt, is there anything else that needs to be discussed by way of this new schematic? At this point, I'd like to turn the program over to visitor and public comments to discuss the community center project. And if anybody who wishes to address the board would like to do so, I ask you to come to the podium. Please identify yourself and your address and hear your remarks. Thank you.
Harry Susie, Ridgeview Road, Hummelstown, Derry Township.
Susie, I'm sorry, just to interrupt for one sec. Just as a reminder to everybody, out of respect for the large number of people that are here tonight, if you could keep your comments to 3 minutes or less, that'd be greatly appreciated. Okay, I'm sure you did.
Thank you, Harry.
Before I start, I heard a lot about stakeholders here tonight. We've heard about that all along. And I was wondering, have any of these stakeholders come forward with any financial assistance up front? Said, you do this project, and we're going to give you $8 million. Has anybody done that so far of these stakeholders? I'm guessing no.
This is for you to comment, not for us to comment back. Okay. We're asking for an answer. Okay. We're not at the point where anyone's
So secondly, we know it was a 3 or 4 meetings ago, the Bowler Center came and they said they run on a deficit every year. It was a little shocking to me, actually. So one of the stakeholders coming on board and they don't have any money, which is, to me, concerning. Now, we have some things going on tonight that you have to make two decisions. You either vote no on spending this $31 million project. By voting no, you do not increase the taxes of the people in Derry Township. Number one. Number two, you vote yes, you put an unnecessary burden, tax burden, on 90% of the residents of Derry Township, on the 10% that will be using the facility. Well, I totally understand that the present facility is in need of a lot of repair. Do we need a 50-liter competitive pool? It was beautiful, Matt. Beautiful project. Absolutely beautiful project. Can't say it's not. Do we need a 50-liter competitive pool? And do we need an indoor walking track?
No.
That's just my question to you as you move forward. Tonight, I hope you vote no on this present facility. Again, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But I think by voting yes, you're putting an unnecessary tax burden on 90% of the taxpayers of Derry Township. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Noonan. I'm going to bring up the question again. Now, I understand two board members were, I believe, part of the board in 2014. The other three may not have been. So I understand the roadmap started in 2014. But the real question is, why hasn't a referendum been issued for this entire project? Now, I understand 2014, we spent a lot of good money, or bad money. We don't know right now. So I'm asking the board to reconsider, slow things down, allow the voters to have a say in this for all of the residents of Derry Township. I know that's hard to swallow. You still can go through the process because basically you're spending good money after bad money right now anyway because you haven't made a decision. And just a couple observations here. I can't understand why the township since 1979 hasn't developed a capital program for the replacement of this. And the reason I ask that is because I was the code enforcement officer for Derry Township in 1979. I did a safety analysis for the center. I developed a budget for the supervisors, and they talked about developing a capital program budget, which was never done. I mean, that's water under a dam right now. And the other thing is I want to point out two things. To the construction management company, you have no cost for IT unless you're carrying under your electrical. And usually that's something that's always missed. Two, if the board does vote on this, have you considered a cost savings contract with whoever the capital or your owner rep decides to go with? There could be savings there because there's an incentive that they can come in and save. And three, as a resident of the township and over 30 years as a program project manager, overseeing projects in excess of $200 million, I volunteer be part of a committee to help oversee this project at no cost to the township residents, since my expertise could be of value to this program. Thank you.
Dave Edwards, West Granada Avenue. If I understand some of the early numbers that were given, there were estimates of $11 million to essentially rebuild the existing facility and make it more functional and accessible for handicap, etc. That opposed to $32 million for the proposed plan. I see that as a $20 million difference for the taxpayers to fund for essentially two organizations, the Aquatic Club and the Moore Senior Center, both of which are wonderful organizations. However, to burden the taxpayers with their needs, I'm not sure that's fair. It has, as Mr. Susi pointed out, the relationship is small. And also, I believe that this increase in taxes to fund this project will likely eliminate the membership dues from many family budgets and certainly many senior budgets.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Rich Campbell. I just want to pick up on what Second Young said about the having the stakeholders. I really feel that what we're building is for two particular Moore Center and the Aquatics Club. I mean, they survived this long using the existing size of the facility we have. Why is it such a need to increase it for, as they said, a certain select few? And going back to the medical center, I mentioned them as a stakeholder, for their, you know, therapy programs, why did they build the huge rehab center on Chocolate Avenue? They have all that there. They're not going to pay us to let people go over there. They're not going to reimburse us, the township, for people that are going over to swim in the warm water. They have their own. So I think we're kind of getting misled about these, quote, people who want to use it, what the purpose is. But if both Hershey's involved, Hershey Estates or Hershey Company's involved, Medical Center, the Aquatics Club, the Mower Center, I think they should all be required to put up a certain percentage and not go forward until that commitment is made. And we're talking about capital funding, asking people to contribute, to raise money.
Look at the fire station. We haven't even paid for that yet. You're going to increase taxes, possibly increase the sewer rates, and you want somebody to reach in their pocket and donate to this project? I don't see it happening. So let's put it back on the stakeholders. You got four, possibly five. Let them finance it. The township being one of the stakeholders, we take 25% of it. Let everybody else use their capital campaign and bring the money. When you have the money, that's when you buy it. Because we're not looking at a $31 million pool. We're looking at a probably 46 or higher after you're done paying this thing off. Okay? And the gentleman was talking about came here in 1974. Everything you mentioned is gone. So we're trying to read it off, but we already had it once. So, you know, you talked about the community center. It's gone. Everything you talked about is gone. So let's think about what we're doing here.
Shane Fidelli, Robin Road, Hershey. I'm here to encourage the supervisors to not take action on approving this measure. Number one reason being, we don't know how it's going to be paid for. I, as a taxpayer, demand to know how much I'm going to be paying for this luxury item that, quite frankly, I've never seen anything like this sponsored by any township in the Commonwealth. I travel all over the 67 counties. I would love to see an example of an aquatic center like this that's maintained and owned by a township in Pennsylvania. And I'd also like to see the numbers as far as how it sustains itself. Because sadly, I think our community's being, we're eventually getting outpriced. This used to be a working class community where you could buy a house for $100,000. And the way things seem to be going, working class people can't live here anymore. I don't know who's going to be using the pool during the day, but most of us are working to pay our taxes. Thank you.
Good evening. Kevin Ferguson, Quail Hollow Road. I've got a couple of thoughts on this. The first is I do support the project. I think that the community desperately needs a functioning recreation center, and to the point of 90% of the people in the township not using the rec center, I feel that's because it doesn't offer 90% of the public anything to do with the current rec center. What we see up here today, I think, will be a tremendous asset to the community. I actually am one of those 90% that doesn't use the rec center currently because it doesn't really offer me anything. But what we see here today, I know that myself and my family will be using this facility for many years to come. I think there's a lot of things here that the design offers the community, especially the kids, where they have no place to go during the winter months to exercise and burn off their energy. I think this will be a tremendous asset to the community. As far as the design goes, I'm wondering if the outdoor pool is going to be adequate enough in size. I don't know how it compares to the current outdoor pool, but the township is ready to explode in size, so I'm wondering if it is adequate to handle the amount of people that come, especially during the summer months. Traditionally the number of people that come to the rec center, I don't know, doubles, triples, quadruples in size during the summer, and I just wonder if that pool size is going to be adequate. But I too am concerned about what this is going to cost us. Personally, I think this is taxpayer dollars well spent. Speaking for myself, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm going to throw my hat in the ring with the discussion of looking at the amusement tax. Right now, according to your budget, we get $1.5 million from amusement tax at 85 cents per ticket. Now, that's a fixed rate, a 20-year deal at this point, which I think was a terrible deal for the taxpayers. And it was a giveaway, in my opinion. But if there was ever a time to renegotiate an honorable and respectable amusement tax, now's the time. Let's just say we could get them to agree to another 85 cents. That's another million and a half. That's your debt service right there. And probably no need or minimal need to raise real estate taxes. That's my thoughts on that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Teresa Peschel, and I live at 48 Half Street, and I have two questions. The first is, how many regional swim meets are there, that, and how many of those meets can you actually plan on them transferring from wherever they are now, coming to Hershey, paying Hershey, and then putting all of those that money into this community? You don't know that any of those regional meets will move over here. The second question I have for this Taj Mahal of swimming pools, and it really is lovely, how well will this building hold up? My understanding is that the original facility has tremendous maintenance issues, and any building develops maintenance issues over time. And are there plans in place, any provisions, so that the maintenance costs can be addressed? As the building gets older, it's going to cost more to maintain, and we may end up in another 20, 40, 60 years in exactly the situation we are here now, having to tear down a building and rebuild it because of maintenance costs. Thank you.
Thank you.
I understand it's a common time, but when can questions be asked when we would get answers on questions? Is that a different time and place for that? I mean, a lot of people say they have a question, but I understand it's comments. But I think there's answers that need to be made. And I don't know if it's a different time or a different process as to when questions could be asked where you could get some answers.
I'll be addressing that in a few moments.
I'll give one situation where Mr. Susi has had a lot of questions. And if I'm not mistaken, he spent some time, actually sat down with Matt Mandia. So I think that questions can be come in any time to any members of the staff or people involved in this process.
Okay.
So we try to be as transparent from the very beginning. So we're open to any questions. It's just that in a public setting like this, it gets very difficult because when you have a back and forth and so much public comment, it can just kind of go on and on and on.
So direct them more to Matt for any kind of questions. Or anyone else?
Any member of the team, yeah. anybody on the board. We're all open to answering questions on the project.
And then we got to get those questions out and answered so that we're not having the same people asking the same questions, like how about the papers?
Yeah, again, I think, have you been to the website where you see some of the infographics that are being put out? We have been trying to be transparent as the process goes, as painful as that is, because all of this is a working process, and sometimes it's painful because you don't have all the answers, but you have to put out what different avenues we're pursuing.
Yep.
We've been putting them out in real time, and if we continue to get the same questions, in fact, we should probably listen to answers to several of the questions that are being asked tonight and make sure that there's graphics put on the website.
Oh, that, thanks.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. Anyone else? Hold on, Rich. Hold on, Rich. Get somebody else a chance. Ms. Fidel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be brief. I don't want to repeat a lot of what was already said here this evening. I agree with much of it. But I would like to say, remind the board of something that I always kept in mind when I was a supervisor. And that is that you play a dual role in your role as elected officials. You are a representative of people. So yes, you are representing the residents of their township and their needs, and you need to listen to them. But you are also trustees of this township and the people that reside in it. And that includes the financial stability of this township. So yes, I understand there is a great outcry by a certain group of people for this project, which I happen to think is over-designed and it exceeds the needs of this community. But getting back to the trustee part, I have read in the paper, I have talked with some of you about some of the ways that are proposed to finance this. I respect that it has not been made public or presented yet, but I think you are really reaching in how you are planning to pay for this. I think DTMA is a bad idea. I will tell you right now. We can get into that in maybe another meeting. But again, if this project is going to put an exceedingly burdensome financial, it's going to burden the taxpayers in an exceedingly, you know, too far away. I mean, I would urge you to not go forward with it. I think it is premature to vote on this tonight. I would urge you, based on what you've heard from this audience, to table this tonight. I think it is very premature to vote to continue on this when we don't know how it's going to affect this township. So, again, I would just remind you of your trustee function as well as your representative function. Thank you.
When I was up before, I mentioned that 39% tax raise, and at that time, there were board members here, and some of you challenged them in elections, and your speech for election was more fiscal responsibility. It was blamed on the prior board members that they were fiscally irresponsible. That's why you needed the big tax raise. I don't see this as a fiscally responsible decision to go forward with this project in its current state. Most of the board members are imports. No disrespect, Matt's the only one that's an original citizen around here, as I am. Mr. Nagley, maybe.
And I was born raised.
And born here.
30 years.
So, you don't have history.
You can tell, sir.
You don't have the Hershey history. As this gentleman said, he came here in 74. As Mr. Susie said, it's all gone. You don't have the history of the map? Keep that in mind.
Thank you, sir.
Just a quick, in relation to the question about the, your questions regarding asking questions and getting answers, I waited over a week to when I presented to the board, and I really still haven't heard anything back. So what I'm going to recommend, like they do in other big cities when something comes up, they have a panel. Invite the whole, go get them a bigger place. All of you sit on the panel so we can ask you directly, how do you feel? You're representing me. I want to ask you. If I voted for you, I want to ask you. And not waiting to get it third hand or fourth hand or a month down the road. Let's do a panel discussion, open it up, invite everybody in. So if I got a question for Justin or I got a question for you, Mark, you can answer me. Not we'll get back to you or this is the only comment. I agree with you. We need to have dialogue back and forth. And the next thing I'd like to bring up, let me wait on that,
Rich.
I'll call
someone else.
I don't want to piss anybody off.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, I'm Chris Luttrell, 254 Cedar Avenue. Usually Matt does the talking for me at this meeting, but I wanted to let you guys all know, love the design. I'm thrilled to see it. It looks great. I have three kids, and my last one is a senior in high school, so they're all going out of state to college right now, so I'm still thrilled to see that because I'm thinking of myself now. and thinking of all the things I can do there. And anybody who goes over to the rec center in the evening and sees the kids walking over for after school, this, I know, I don't minimize the feelings of everybody here about taxes. I totally understand that. But these tax dollars are going directly to us. We've watched all the development in Hershey. This is what's really going to affect our families. So if I'm going to spend extra tax dollars, I want it to be on something like this that we people living here can enjoy for years. So I thank you for all your work. Matt, we've been in this for probably more, like, what, 8-10 years working on this. Totally appreciate everybody's work on it. So I wanted to let you know I'm in favor of it.
Thank you very much. There are a lot of papers there.
Mark, Christine Drexler, 28 Penzance Road. There are a lot of papers here. And these papers are 8 years old. This is a petition 8 years ago that hundreds and hundreds of people signed in good faith in support of a new community center and wrote down things after things that they would like to see in a new community center. And tonight, I saw it. I saw every single thing that people 8 years ago wrote down. And 8 years ago, I came and I told you we needed to do this. 8 years ago. And the front page of the Sun was $15 million. And we did nothing. How dare we look at these people who are taking a leap of faith for our community. This man who has worked tirelessly and listened to complaints and battering. These people who have put in so much time to come up with something that will last us another 50 years. By the grace of God, this facility has lasted 50 years because the people that came before us, the people that had the vision, Mr. Hershey, put in something that was going to last. And the price tag on that 54 years ago probably equated to what we're trying to do right now. This is not for this much of a sector of people in our community. This is for us. This is for our community and the future of our community and the kids. In 2015, I started a program for students who don't have enough food to eat. Those kids walk over to that rec center with their food and sit there, sometimes until 8 o'clock at night, because they're waiting for a foster parent to come pick them up. We have a responsibility as a community to step outside of ourselves and think of other people. Love other people. And instead of finding a way why we can't, why can't we stand here and find a way that we can? Why can't we work collaboratively together, to come together, to find the money, to work as community, to show community? I don't understand that for the life of me. How we can assault these people who are actually the ones believing and taking the step of faith to do something good for our community. We complain time after time, the tourists, the tourists, the tourists. This is for us. Then we should be the ones to stand up and applaud them and figure out a way that we're going to do it together. I support you 1,000,000%, and I will fight to the death for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Betsy Quillen, 1126 Sand Hill
Grove. Thank you so much for your service, all of you. Thank you for a wonderful presentation tonight, Jim. I really heard your heart in that. And I'm a yes. I was an absolute no when I heard the $31 million, and I just did what I often do. I just said no way. I was just overwhelmed by the number. But, you know, I've had a complete change of heart, and that's often just my way. I'm scared by big price tags for so many reasons. I was a no on the fire station. I was just out there with my no way, no way. I think I'm probably the biggest fan of it now. It's just such a beautiful addition to our community. So I stand corrected on the fire station, and I do stand corrected on my initial opinion of this project. But I want to make a point tonight to Christine. Petitions don't pay bills. Emotion does not pay bills. You don't find money, you work for money. One of the things that I would like to know is the capital campaign is only at $5 million for all of the passionate, competitive swimmer families that we have in this town. You know, I'd like to invite them to participate in raising that capital campaign, and you know, where our hearts are, that's where our treasure is found. So, you know, now's an opportunity for them to step up. You know, it's wonderful to put your name on something. It's another thing to put your money there, you know, to sell your home, you know, to that's what speaks to people. So, again, I just want to thank you so much. You know, from the bottom of my heart, my husband and I have 5 children that were all born and raised in this town, and I couldn't be more thankful to live here and for all of the blessings that go along with that. So, thank you, each and every one of you.
Thank you.
Hi. Pam Ruddle, 241 Bahia Avenue. I just want to say I'm a yes for this. I have every faith that you are responsible with our money, and I think our community deserves this. So I thank you. I'm hoping you do move forward with it. And Betsy, I'm sure there are many of us that will be part of that capital campaign. But it's not only the swimmers, it's for everyone. I'm there after school seeing the kids that come over that are not part of the swim team, that are looking for a safe place to hang out till their parents can pick them up. So I thank you. I believe in you, and I thank you for in the belief of the vision of our community needing this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else that would care to address the Board of Supervisors?
I did not come to speak about this, but one of the most upsetting things that I heard was that the current Mueller Center is running in a deficit, and I think so many times in communities and in our families and the direction that our society seems to be going, moving at a million miles an hour, I think that there's two demographics that kind of get forgotten, and it's children and it's the elderly. I think the absolute best thing about this project is that you consciously brought them together. I'm so thankful for that. I've talked to Matt. I'm on the school board. We all know that a big complaint is that there's nowhere for kids to go. So I think this is a great idea. I think it was very thoughtful, and I support it 100%. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Wish to address the Board Supervisor on this topic? Do any members of the Board Supervisor have any thoughts or comments on this project?
We don't
don't want to be keeping you all here till midnight. First of all, thank you for coming tonight and for caring. This obviously is not the first time that we've talked about this project. We've been holding sessions like this since 14 and talking about it for many years as community members prior to that. We are listening to you and we understand your concerns, whether you're in favor of it or not in favor of it. And as you can imagine, it's really difficult to sit up here because no matter what decision you make, somebody's not going to be happy. But I can tell you that this board, every day for the last 2 years and beyond, has worked on trying to find a solution to make this community center a reality and to make it at the least possible burden to the taxpayer as possible. I can tell you that the staff from Parks and Recreation, Matt Mandia at the helm, have been working tirelessly to find a way to make a relevant, meaningful project that we can afford and sustain for decades to come. And I can tell you that the many people in this room and many, many more who are not here this evening work every day on this project. I mean, there's probably not an hour that goes by that we're not thinking about this, let alone working on it. And I know it's hard for you to come here, you know, for 2 hours or read something in the paper and try to put all the pieces together because we work on this literally every day and it's hard to put all the pieces together. But I can tell you that if you believe in our investment of time and passion in this project, that this is very possible. It is very doable. And we would not be here tonight if it was not. We have been looking at the numbers and crunching numbers and finding all the possible ways that we could be financing a project and looking at the worst possible case scenario and the best possible case scenario and every scenario in between. And I think, without speaking for the board, that in general, we feel comfortable that even at the worst case scenario, it's not a terrible burden on our township, on our ability to borrow, on our residents, and that we're doing something really good that is way overdue in this community. A lot of the concern come from not having all the answers, and I apologize that we can't stay here till 1 in the morning and order pizzas and just kind of chat about it, but please, please talk to any of us. Go to the website, call us, email us, so that you can understand whatever that piece is that you're missing. And I would also ask that, you know, a lot of things that you hear in the room tonight, concern residents speaking from their heart, which I really appreciate, may not always be the most accurate or current information, so don't take everything to heart. Please, please ask questions, do your reading, make your own informed decisions, and please know that we are working tirelessly to make this a project that all of us will be extremely proud of, and it'll be a legacy for all of us that we can enjoy for many, many decades to come.
Thank you, Susan. I have some thoughts on it too, and make no mistake about it, tonight's decision to move forward with design development phase is, for all intents and purposes, a decision to build a $32 million center as opposed to a less expensive version. It's a serious decision. All of you know that. It's probably the most expensive single expenditure we've ever undertaken. And not less than an hour ago, the Board of Supervisors, maybe more than that now, the Board of Supervisors met with our financial planning experts, PFM, to discuss its most recent draft report. When we left off, the report still wasn't final. We're still providing input to PFM. We still haven't had a public presentation by PFM to discuss its calculations, its financial calculations. I can't imagine making a financial decision of this magnitude even before the financial experts we hired and we rely upon have made their public presentation, where we can discuss the many assumptions upon which the success of this project rests. I'm very grateful for all of you who have come here tonight. I really am. We've done a good job of explaining the benefits and virtues of this project to our community. You've seen that tonight. I don't think there's any debate at all about the benefits and virtues of this project. The issue is, how do we pay for it? What I don't think we've done a good enough job doing is clearly and concisely informing our residents of the overall tax increase still to be calculated by PFM for this project and from the rest of our township's operations. The assumptions upon which the community centers are based, and perhaps more importantly, the financial risks associated with those assumptions. We really think, for example, that the average resident knows that their overall tax liability is based in part upon the assumption that the community center will have $3.1 million in annual revenue over the course of the next 15 or 20 years. Do we think the average resident even knows what a waste digester is, or that we're assuming that a second digester, which we have yet to build, will have enough business over and above our current digester to yield approximately $375,000 per year over the next 15 or so years? Are our residents, for example, aware that if we don't raise $5 million in 5 years through our capital campaign, and or if we don't get sufficient RACP funds, the township may be at or near a borrowing limit for a period of time? Do our residents know what may happen if we have a natural disaster like the hurricanes that we've had over the last few years, if we're at a borrowing limit? And those assumptions go on. And let me be absolutely clear on this from a personal standpoint. I am neither for nor against the community center at this stage. My point in all this is that I think we need an open and transparent public discussion about both the benefits of this community center and the financial risks of this project in the context of the overall tax burden to our residents, so that we can move forward as a community with eyes wide open, so that there are no surprises, so that years from now, when the five of us are no longer on the board, I don't want anyone coming forward and saying, oh my gosh, I didn't know that could happen. I didn't know this could happen this way. We simply can't, in my opinion, have an informed discussion as a community unless and until our residents have all the information they need, to include the financial risks associated with the many assumptions that come along with this project, not just select pieces of information. And what I'm going to propose tonight is that we table this decision to approve the design development phase, so PFM can finalize and present its report to the board and to our public, at which time we can lay out all the assumptions, including the anticipated tax increases, as best as we know them, and they're going to be subject to change, and the assumptions are going to be subject to change, but as best as we presently know them, and as importantly, the financial risks this project exposes to us as residents of this community. I think we then need to allow our residents to digest this information, no pun intended with the digester reference, but then be able to make public comment after having all of the information and being fully informed. I think we owe that to our residents. And if, after our residents have been provided all of the information and let us know their thoughts and feelings at a public comment period, we as a board decide to move forward with this project, okay. No worries. But rest assured, we'll at least have done so as a community with our eyes wide open. Justin, you're in.
Yeah, I'll be real brief. I just wanted to make a couple comments on your comments, Mark. Yeah, this has been a very long process, and what I believe to be a very respectable process. Matt, you've done an amazing job. 2014 doesn't mark the beginning, but that's when really the township said we're going to form a stakeholder group and we're going to look at this. Early 2015, which I don't think was in your presentation, 2015 we said if we're going to take on a project of this size, we need to do serious financial planning. So as a board, we voted, we looked at three different financial planners, and we ended up going with Public Financial Management because their budgeting model was second to none. So we believe that they had the best budgeting model, that we could put our budget on their model and we could make decisions. I'm sure I see you shaking your head. You're attesting to that fact. We have never studied Dairy Township financials more than we have today. Is that accurate? Okay. So what we looked at before this meeting was 7 years of projections and looking at all kinds of different assumptions and what could happen in the future. And the reason I disagree with you, Mark, is because PFM is not going to come back with some final presentation and say, this is what you're going to do the next 7 years, because frankly, those are based on decisions of future boards year after year making budget decisions. I think that PFM has done a fabulous job. I think that we know a lot of information that the public doesn't know, but in two to four weeks of a presentation where we literally can run scenarios, just push a couple keys and we can run all kinds of scenarios and see exactly what's going to happen. So I feel very comfortable with where we stand financially. A tax increase is something that no one wants to pursue. It's something that is required for this project. And I think it's ultimately will be a reasonable one. We're pursuing a lot of different avenues. some avenues we can't even say publicly. So there's one or two avenues where it's still, there may be potential. And I think at the end of the day, we are going to be able to minimize that tax increase. So before I'm finished, I also want to compliment the team. The team on this project, I've worked on a lot of projects too, and I am so impressed with the team. You guys have done an amazing job. And so I think the residents can rest assured that we've built a world-class team, really largely led by Matt and Greg, but Greg has done a lot of successful projects. He budgets well with budgeting along the way. As you heard, we did a budget check now. We'll do another budget check in September. I mean, what that avoids us doing is designing a building we can't afford. And you hear about it all the time, where an architect designs something, it's going to cost $30 million, but the budget was $20 million. And so Jim's worked closely with Greg. Everything is working very well. So I just want to compliment the team for the work you've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Anybody on that end of the table? No?
Yeah.
No worries. Okay. Matt, anything?
I hope everyone has looked at the infographic. I know we've worked hard on looking at every facet of how to pay for this. We've bent over backwards. I don't know, like Justin said, of any board that's tried to figure out how we could make this happen for the community financially. We really looked at it. We looked at all kinds of things. Some things had possibilities, other things didn't. And you know, I guess I was told that I'm the oldest person up here living in Hershey, but I do look back when Milton Hershey built that community center for us. And I said it before, he built in the center of a cornfield. People had to come to it on trolleys that he built, and they had to, we were in the middle of a depression at that time. Anyone would have said that you have to be crazy for doing something like that. But we all admire his vision, and when I run his office, people say, you know, they don't do anything for the common person. Well, maybe that's because Milton Hershey's not around. We don't have him to do things for the common people anymore. We have to do it for ourselves. We've had 70 years of free recreation buildings in this town, and I think we did our due diligence. I think we've gone overboard getting it right. And I strongly feel that way as a lifetime member of this community.
Well, ordinarily, I would have a motion to table this, and if we didn't get a second, which, based on the comments, I don't think we would. But,
Mark, can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Matt, are you doing it as a separate agenda item?
The design development
moving
request.
Forward, yeah.
Yeah, it's a separate item.
Okay.
Do the next one on the agenda.
Okay.
So let's.
I would just offer that even moving forward doesn't mean that this is done. The design isn't done. How we're funding it isn't done. That continues to be a conversation and a communication and a dialogue with the community. So this move is just to help this project continue, but not without further investigation and making sure that we're taking the right steps. So I just want to make sure that that's understood.
And of course, I just think the order is a little backwards, but I will make a motion that we table this decision until after we've had PFM discuss the financial aspect of it. The people have had an opportunity to evaluate that information and then offer public comment. Do I have a second on that motion? I hear none, and that motion does not come to pass, and therefore will not be entertained. So, Matt, did you wish to move forward with the next item, B2 on the agenda, the actual consideration of authorizing the design, or have you pretty much indicated everything that needs to be done on that?
It's up to the board if you'd like me to present it, or if the board just wants to vote on it.
I think we've had.
Well, just make sure we're clear with the motion is in terms of the schematic design.
Right. It would be the authorization to proceed to design development for the community center project. And an amount not to exceed $720,000.
Why don't you give there's more background?
Yeah,
provide sure. That, so, yeah, I think that's a great idea. The board previously approved a line of credit for the express purpose of funding the design services for the community center project. That initial drawdown was approved, and that was for the schematic design phase that we just presented this evening. This agenda item is the second request for the second drawdown on that line of credit, which, by the way, is important to note, I think, that that line of credit is also included within the total project cost. So this is not above and beyond the $32 million number that has been discussed this evening that's part of that. So really, just as a check and balance, each time we move on to the next phase of design services, we're required to come back to the board for those approvals, and that's what we're doing this evening, to move from schematic to design development. This phase, by definition, is a transitional phase of architect engineering services in which the design moves from the schematic phase leading up to construction documents. In this phase, the A&E prepares drawings and other supporting materials to finalize the design concept and describe it in terms of architectural, electrical, mechanical, and structural systems. This phase of design, including, very importantly, another budget update and verification in September, would proceed, would happen, and this phase would proceed through September. So at this point, we would just ask for the board's direction and consideration of that.
Any additional thoughts or comments from Adam Method? Hearing that, I'll entertain a motion to authorize to proceed to design development for the community center project at an amount not to exceed $720,000.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Ford.
Second.
Second by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And I'm a nay for the reasons stated. The next item on the agenda is execution of a memorandum of understanding between the Township of Derry and the Derry Township School District. Mr. Nick.
Thank you. This memorandum of understanding is exactly a written understanding of connection with the shared bargaining.
We'll wait until the rules.
Thank you all for coming.
Okay, Jim, I think we're good.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This memorandum of understanding establishes a written understanding for potential shared parking for the community center project.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Nagler?
No, the only comment I'd make is that, you know, what this represents is a memorandum of understanding with the school district that really recognizes the entire rec center, what will be the community center, the campus of our schools, sort of as all one campus.
Right.
And so early in the process, we recognized that one of the great things about, two of the great things about this project, number one, how diverse it is, in terms of the age demographic. So it serves young people, it will serve old people, or elderly people. So it serves a wide demographic, but also it's the campus of our schools. And if you look at our campus today and the school's campus, you'll notice that it's clearly two different property owners. There's not a whole lot of interface. There's some interface between the two campuses, but not a whole lot. And so the school district has been extremely cooperative, collaborative, and there's also a great opportunity here to share parking. We're all fighting the battle of stormwater with every project we do. Why create a whole new sea of parking when that parking is available on weekends for shared use? So this really represents a collaborative effort between the school district and the township, and it's exciting.
And as Matt articulated, it's such a community, when we move forward with this project, it's going to be a symbiotic relationship between the township and the school district. So I'll entertain a motion that we execute a memorandum of understanding between the Derry Township School District and Derry Township with respect to parking. I'll make that motion.
Yeah, I'll second.
Mr. Ames seconds it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that motion carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is approval of the cooperation agreement among Derry Township Tax Collection Association, the Township of Derry, the Derry Township School District, and the tax collector, Lou Paoletti. Mr. Negley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the fourth extension of this 2006 agreement. Mr. Paoletti serves this committee with outstanding commitment, and he receives no compensation for his duties as tax collector. And the school district has already approved this.
Very well. Any questions on this agenda item? If not, I'll entertain a motion that the township approve to enter into an agreement of cooperation among the Derry Township Tax Collection Association, Township of Derry, the Derry Township School District, and the tax collector, Lou Paoletti, until December 31st, 2001. I'll make that motion. About a second.
Mr. Zamuda?
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Next item is approval of cooperation agreement between the Township of Derry Industrial and Commercial Development Authority and the Township of Derry that pertains to the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program grant for the Hershey Town Square project. Ms. Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As part of this this project, the ICDA has applied for and was awarded funding in the amount of $750,000 for the Hershey Town Square project. That is an ICDA application, as they are the required applicant, with a sub-applicant being Hershey DCCLT. As part of that process in preparing the formal application and business plan, there needs to be an agreement between the township and the ICDA. Essentially, the reason for that is because the township is the host municipality, even though they're not the direct applicant. The agreement authorizes the project and obligates the host municipality to reimburse the Commonwealth for any reimbursements that may later be determined to have been ineligible. While that may sound a little daunting, by the time this project is approved by Office of the Budget, the garage will already be constructed. There will also be an agreement between the ICDA and the sub-grantee, so that we're essentially protected in that sense. And so three of us have had the opportunity to review the agreement.
Thank you. Any thoughts or comments, Sean? Hearing that, I'll entertain a motion that Derry Township enter into a cooperation agreement with the Township of Derry Industrial and Commercial Development Authority pertaining to the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program application for the Hershey Town Square project. I'll make that motion.
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is request from Derry Township School District to close the first block of East Caracas Avenue on Wednesday, June 6, 2018 from 2 p.m. until 9 p.m. for graduation activities. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The graduation ceremonies for Hershey High School were normally held at Milton Hershey Founders Hall. Due to renovations at that location, will be only the graduation ceremonies at the Hershey Theater. They're asking permission to place a tent on East Caracas Avenue as a staging area for guests and students before they enter the theater, and also as a rally point afterwards to receive supplemental items, diplomas, and so forth. And due to that tent being placed there, they are requesting that the roadway be shut down. It's not going to be any cost involved in that. We'll request some barricades from the Public Works Department, and egress and ingress of traffic will be manned by the fire police for that event.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions or comments for the Chief on this issue? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion that the request from the Derry Township School District to close the first block of East Caracas Avenue on June 6th of this year from 2 p.m. until 9 p.m. for graduation activities be approved.
So moved.
So moved by Ms. Court.
Second.
Mr. Zamuda seconds it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Next item on the agenda is a request from Hershey Entertainment Resorts to hold the color run on H&R properties on Saturday, June 9th, 2018. That event will include the closure of North Hockersville Road from West Hershey Park Drive to Old West Chocolate Avenue from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Chief.
Mr. Chairman, this roadway closure has been done a few times before. The color run is just one day this year. I think it's been 2 days the past couple of years. They place out the message board signs approximately 5 days ahead of time to let people know that the roadway is going to be closed that day. They take care of all the barricades to close the roadway. They do any staffing, so it doesn't require any resources from our department, but it will require the approval of the board to close that roadway and give a permit for that closure.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for the chief on this? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion that's a request to hold the color run on Hershey Entertainment and Resorts properties on June 9, 2018, along with the associated road closure of North Hockersville Road be approved.
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Court. Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and that carries unanimously. The next item on the agenda is a request to hold the 2018 Culture Fest on Saturday, June 23rd from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Chief, once again.
Mr. Chairman, Culture Fest this year, celebration of global arts, food, and music with a local flavor. They're attempting to provide a family-friendly summertime outdoor festival in downtown Hershey. It's for all ages. The event takes place between 12 p.m. and 8 p.m. That date. And the request is to close Cocoa Avenue between Chocolate and Caracas, similar to what we've done in Arts Fest, some of the other events downtown. We will require some traffic direction by our police department, community service officers, maybe some police officers, so there may be some slight wage costs involved in that, but other than that, there's not going to be any budget impact.
Any questions or comments for the chief? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion that the request to hold the 2008 Culture Fest on Saturday, June 23rd, 2008 is approved. I'll make the motion. Any seconds?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Zamuda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, and the motion carries unanimously. Our last item on the agenda, I believe, is the proclamation declaring May 2018 as Preeclampsia Awareness Month. Jill.
Yeah, the Preeclampsia Foundation has asked to declare May Awareness Month. They hold a promise walk on May 19th that will raise awareness and funding for it. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's a complication of pregnancy which is characterized by high blood pressure, and it's estimated that 76,000 women and 500,000 babies die worldwide annually.
Thank you, Joe. Any questions or comments for Joe? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion that the Township Dairy Board Supervisors proclaim May 2018 Preeclampsia Awareness Month in Dairy Township. I'll make that motion. Any second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. Turning next to correspondence and board and committee information, Mr. Zamuda.
Yeah, point of reference. I've lived in Derry Township since about 1960, so I am one of the old-time residents. I remember when Hershey Park was free. I remember the community center. My father, I learned to swim down at the community center uptown. I played pool with my father there. I also wanted to say that these guys up here work their asses off. And now I know I'm new on the board and I'm feeling my way along, but these guys make me better. And I think they're underappreciated sometimes. I know there's been some talk about it, but I think they're underappreciated. And it's too bad everybody else left already. But I just wanted to get that out there because that's how I feel about these guys. I think they're right. And the rest of the staff, too. Don't let me shortchange these guys, too. They're all smart. They all have your best interest at heart in this township. And I think you're exploitably lucky to have these guys up here and down here. I know sometimes you don't feel like that. I know sometimes we piss you off, but you got a good group of folks here. So appreciate it. That's all I got.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
Rick, it's nice to have you on board.
Okay, I have nothing. Thank you, Susan.
Just super quickly, I just wanted to give a shout out to Matt, Mandia, and Zach. Zach's still here, and his staff for the 44th annual fishing derby on Saturday. It was amazing. We had a great crowd, and that's not an easy thing to pull off, so I just wanted to say I appreciate that. And just a reminder, May 21st is our last diversity series event at the Hershey Story. It's free and open to the public. You get dinner, and you're going to hear a wonderful panel of local people who represent different diverse backgrounds in our community. I really encourage you to come out and listen and learn and make our community that much better.
Thank you.
Okay,
John?
Okay.
Thank you. Chief, anything to add?
Just that next week is Peace Officers Memorial Police Week. May 15th is the actual date for remembrance. Just to give you an idea of what we deal with, this year we're at a 69% increase in gunfire deaths with police officers, with a total of 51 deaths so far this year. So take some time next week to remember those officers that gave their life.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Stein. Fire Department.
Thank you. On behalf of the Fire Department, I would just like to announce that about a week ago was International Firefighters Day, and we're fortunate to have a great group of volunteers, particularly young folks, and our junior program continues to grow to the point where we're almost looking at having to put a cap on it just for span of control. So knowing that we have these young kids that are interested in this volunteerism in the fire service really helps in saving the township and the citizens the extra income needed, the tax burden of supporting the fire department. So we appreciate all the support we receive and continue to receive from the board and the community.
Well, I think it's because of the board that we appreciate you so much for that. So thank you for everything you do. Tom?
I have nothing. Thank
you. Laura?
I just want to say thank you to Parks and Recreation as well as Public Works for helping us install our little free library, which debuted last Saturday at Bullfrog Valley Park. So go by and take a book and read a book, and thank you very much for the cooperation.
Excellent. Cheryl?
I have nothing this evening, thank you.
Matthew, anything else to say? No. Okay. Matt Medea. Representative, I'm sorry. Been a long night.
Yeah, public video being tomorrow for Stockbridge Church for Culver.
Excellent. Chuck?
Nothing.
Lauren?
Just a note that on Tuesday, May 15th, Downtown Hershey Association is going to have a preview event for the entire Life on Chocolate series. We're also recognizing and celebrating our volunteers at that event. I was proud to send out almost 160 direct invitations today, so really appreciate all of our volunteer support.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Jill, anything?
Nothing, thank
Jim?
You.
Jim? No. I'll entertain a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $310,622.25 and payroll in the amount of $332,464.34. So moved. I'll second it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That was moved by Mr. Engel. Those opposed? And that carries unanimously. I will also entertain the second visitor in public comments at this time. Anybody wishing to address the board, please address the podium, state your name and address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, it would be greatly appreciated.
Dave Weaver, 1163 Galloway Court. You all took a big step towards spending a lot of money tonight, and I'm just hoping before we spend any more, and we can visit the paving status of Limerick Court, which has to be one of the worst roads in the township. And I'm hoping that maybe somebody can email me with a status on that. I don't know what the schedule is, but maybe somebody can send me an email with an update on when I should expect that to be paved. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Ms. Trigan.
Okay. I'm a little concerned being involved with the health service, behavior services stuff. I'd like to maybe review your minutes. A lady said that she's providing, and I appreciate she's doing this, the backpack lunch for the kids. I think it's great. But I'm a little concerned when she says she's packing up lunch for foster children that sit at the rec center waiting for their foster parents to pick them up. Now, working with Dauphin County Children and Youth, that should be reported, and somebody should investigate that. These people are compensated. We should not be paying to provide food to these people. Now, I understand, but those packages of that food are going to the residents who don't qualify for the services. So just keep that in mind about taxes. But really, I'd like you to refer that on to, or I will
and I review the minutes when you get them done to make sure that's the way she meant it, that these, quote, children are getting, foster children, we're supplying them with food and babysitting when a foster parent should be providing that. And secondly, back to you, Justin. I don't want to get you mad. But
what
are you
already having mad? So, yeah. So I'm going to stay out of that last comment. But go ahead.
Well, you hear what I'm saying. It was the way he was presented on his question.
Go ahead.
All right. Secondly, one of the things you said tonight was communications.
Yeah.
But you sat there and you said there's certain things I don't want to talk about or we can't talk about. That's what we want you to talk about. So we know where you're thinking and where you're going. You know, to say, well, we got something we can't talk about it.
Well, you need to
understand. You're sending two messages.
Mr. Yale, you need to understand that as soon as we have information that we can share, we share it. But there are a lot of things that you can't share until they're a reality. So you have to trust that the second that we can come out and tell you something, like we have a new funding source and it's been approved, you and everybody else here will know about it.
Well, like I say, if you share it, the people can get behind you with, for example, the...
Not in every situation.
All right, well, okay, we're not running Homeland Security here. We're saying this is spending people's money. And if you could really be more open and let everybody get in on the conversation, not hold out something that wouldn't read about our newspaper. I got the third thing. Is it too late to do a referendum on this thing for the November? I think that would solve a lot of the problems that if there's any finger pointing, you'll see where it's coming from. Okay? I think we have a week to get that in for November.
So just to be clear, a referendum, there's probably 4,000 people that vote, and there's a township of 25,000.
Well, I think if they know there's a referendum on this, there'll be more people voting.
We'll take it under advisement, Mr.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
We're all going to make that motion.
And that's a unanimous motion and a unanimous vote for the adjournment. This meeting is hereby adjourned.